Okay. So we got our first practicum today. I love practicums. I'm really, really looking forward to our time together today. Before we step into the practicum, a couple of housekeeping pieces that I wanted to make sure that I mentioned. The first is you probably have noticed that we don't have any. I was talking about this in our business Q&A call last week too. You probably noticed that we don't have live calls for I think the next 3 weeks. And that's because every August I try to take time off to just reboot and re-energize and get some much needed rest, although some of it, most of it is with my kids, so I wouldn't exactly call it rest. But anyway, I'm mentioning all of this for a couple of reasons. Number one, we all have such busy lives, and then lay on top of it everything that's happening in the world and has been happening in the world. And it's just, I think it's so important for us to take time out to rest, to rejuvenate. I hope that you have been giving yourself space as needed to take care of you. And as I take care of myself over the next few weeks, in a perfect world, like I would like one day to be able to say, and I am completely unplugged for 3 weeks and I will not be checking email once and, all of that. That's not true. I'm not there yet. So what that means is, for the most part, my team will be around if there's anything that you need, first of all. If there's anything you need from me specifically, I may not get back to you, within a day or two, like I would otherwise, but I will be checking in over the next 3 weeks if there is anything that you need from me. So know that I'm there. I will be thinking about all of you while I'm away. And there's something else I was going to say. Oh, and this is a great couple of weeks to catch up if there's any catch up that you need to do. This is a great, it's great timing with connecting in with your coaching partners and having some space to start to get some practice in. So and there's also bonus recording. So there's plenty to do if you want to be doing also. Any questions that anyone has just on these next 3 weeks while I'm out of the office? Anything that you need preemptively? Oh, okay, great. The other thing that I wanted to share, I'm just bringing this up on my computer screen, is I wanted to spend a couple of minutes, talking about certification for those of you that would like to go for the certification. And I think first thing to say is that every cycle of Sacred Depths, we have people in the certification level who absolutely know they want to go for certification. It's important to them, and all the things. And then there are other people that are in the certification level that you don't feel a need or a pull to complete all of the certification requirements and get officially certified. I trust that you know what's best for you. The obviously the con to getting certified, although it's not a con really, because more time you put in, the more masterful you come. It takes some time, extra time to become certified. There are some things involved, and I'm going to go through all of them right now. The for if certification, if getting kind of that actual official certification is right for you. Usually it's right for you. Number one, because for better or worse, sometimes we need outside validation to let us know I did this, I completed this. I like my skills are, you know, someone else is telling me the skills are good to go. And I know sometimes I need outer validation, you know, like there's some people out there that teach like all validation should come from the inside only. And I don't think that's just, I don't think that's possible for human beings, you know? So that if you know that, getting that certification will help you in your confidence and feeling really good in your work, that's a reason to get it. Another reason to get it, and this is like something that we, me and my team are slowly building more and more. It's like, it's starting to get momentum. I don't want to say like we're there yet. But for our certified coaches, we do promote you. So we have a page where we have your photo and a little bio. And if you have a website or whenever you get your website, a link to your website. And where we're still gaining momentum, we haven't gotten there yet, but I think it's going to start in the autumn. And so we promote every now and again, we'll promote to my email community, we'll direct people to that page. You know, if they're looking to hire coaches, and then we're also going to start highlighting our different certified coaches on social media as well. And possibly in the newsletter sometimes. So that's another added benefit of getting certified. There are a couple of requirements for certification, and I want to go through them. So first of all, completion of all of our calls, our worksheets, and our quizzes, not any of the business bonus modules. Those are, you know, your choice, but any of our training calls, our practicums, et cetera, for you to have either participated live or gone through all of them, for you to complete all of the worksheets that we share with you. And if you go into your member center, so this is a little bit on the honor, what's it called? The honor code. You know, I'm not looking for you to submit all of your homework. If you go to the member center, there is a certification tab and it has a tracker for you, for your homework, for you to check off worksheets. If you tell me, if you tell my team that you've done them, I believe you, right? So we're on the honor system here. Something that's new this cycle, and so I'd love feedback on it as you do it, is we're gonna have quizzes. They're not interactive. They're just for you to fill out and then you can see the answers on the bottom, but we're gonna have quizzes for each module as a way of just continuing to integrate material from each of the modules. I'm excited about that. The energetics one is already in there for you. And the other thing that's new, we're going to try this cycle, is we'll have a final exam. So the quizzes will really help you for the final exam. We've never done this before, but you know, I'm always looking to improve and to look for different ways to support you in your integration and in your mastery. And there's so much content that, you know, we share in this training that it felt like having quizzes and that final test, which is, by the way, not going to be incredibly rigorous. I promise I'm not going to give you a doozy, but just, you know, the major concepts, I think that will really help you integrate more and more deeply. So we've got that. In order to get certification, you want to work with your coaching partner at least 18 times. And you'll also have a tracking sheet that you'll find under the certification tab so that you can track those, at least those 18 sessions. In addition to that, another requirement is 18 coaching sessions on top of that. That can be with a paid client or a volunteer client. It doesn't all have to be with the same client. But the idea is for you to have done 18 sessions in addition to the 18 partner sessions. And if you are a seasoned practitioner or a practitioner in another field, the idea is for at least those 18 sessions that you're integrating what you're learning in sacred depths into your sessions, so that it's not just sessions as usual, as you've been doing them before, but you're integrating some of the skills and the ideas and the technique that you're learning here. The biggie is submitting a 30 to 35 minute sample coaching session. You will have time, just I'll say now, you will have time to do this. You have a couple of months, even from the end of the training. So there's time and space to do this. I always think it's helpful when I share this. I'm not the one that listens to the recording. Sometimes people can get nervous that it's me. It's not me. It's somebody on the team. And we're looking for very, very specific things when we listen to the recording. We're listening for your energetics. So did you set the container? Did you get clear on client intentions? Did you get clear on takeaways? What are the energetics that you're bringing? What's the rapport? We're looking for listening skills. We're looking for creating awareness skills. You'll learn each of these in Sacred Depths. We're looking for breakthrough questioning skills, and we're looking for visioning and strategizing skills. I wish there was a way for us to also assess like the Befriend Your Fear process, or rewiring negative thought patterns, or some of the more advanced things that we learn later on in the program. But you can't always manufacture one of those. You don't know what a client is going to bring to you in any given moment. So it's not a given that there'll be a Befriend Your Fear or a Myth of Perfection or whatever it is. Maybe at some point along the line, we'll make things more rigorous and have a separate Befriend Your Fear, something like that. But for right now, no. For each of the categories that I shared, your skills will be rated. I think it's on a scale of 1 to 5. And then you just need a certain number of points overall. What I want to say about the recording is that because we care about quality, and because I know you care about quality too, some people don't pass on the first recording. If that is the case for you, that doesn't mean you're not an amazing practitioner. It doesn't mean anything about you. It doesn't mean we don't love you. It doesn't mean we totally don't believe in you. It just means that we're holding you to a very high standard. You can submit another recording either right away or 2 months later. Don't feel badly if it happens. It happens. If it does, we'll share with you which of the competencies were amazing and what was really amazing about the sample that you submitted. And then we'll share with you the places to tighten up, so that you have really specific instruction. You know what to do. And then really, like, you'll get it on the second time. What else do I want to say about certification? So in our efforts to always improve and make better and better experience for you, we were going to add another component to certification that we used to have, and I don't know why we took it away, which was to also have 5 sessions with one of the team coaches, coaching sessions, so that you could really experience everything that you're learning. But what happened was the way we noted it, it was not clear. It would be an extra fee because you're getting five sessions with a team coach. It was at a very low rate. But because it wasn't clear, I just didn't feel like it was an integrity to include that this cycle. So that's not going to be a certification requirement. However, if you would like to experience Sacred Depth, not business coaching sessions, that's separate, the team, that's not at a very, very, very reduced rate. But if you would like to experience non-business consulting, you know, Sacred Depth sessions, you can buy that pack of five sessions. And it is I don't make any money off of it. I just pay the coaches on it. If you feel like that's something that would be really helpful for your experience, and I'll share information on that as well. All of this information that I'm sharing today is in the Member Center under the certification tab. And I believe we will also be sending an email out about it, so you have it in email form as well. Mindy, the coaching session sample can be video or audio. So whatever your preference is. I think we have like a couple of ways that we ask for it, and that you'll get that. You'll have all that information way in advance, but there's a couple of different ways you can do it. Any other questions on certification for now?
Joanna, I have a question.
Yeah, Rana and then Amy Jo.
How are you ensuring our clients' confidentiality on these recordings? Are we using first names only with this, or are there some guardrails around that?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And it's making me wonder if we need more guardrails. We've only ever used first names. And then we always destroy the recording afterwards. I don't know if there are any other, I'm open to suggestions if that doesn't feel secure enough. But that's all I've got, that we've had in place so far.
Okay. Thanks.
Yeah. You're welcome. Amy Jo.
That was a good question, Rona. Thank you. My question is actually just more logistical. I'm not finding in that I'm on the webpage in the members area, and I'm only finding the certification schedule. Am I missing a tab somewhere?
You might be. Hold on. Let me open.
And I also wasn't able to find the recording. I couldn't make it to the business Q&A last week, and I can't find the recording for that anywhere.
So hold on, let me get in there myself because I don't know it all by heart, and we'll find it together. Okay, so in terms of the Q&A calls, there should be a separate, you've got your Sacred Depth tab in the Member Center, and then there should be a separate tab that's titled Community Q&A Calls. Do you have that?
No.
Okay. I don't know why you don't have it, but I will find out. And we'll get that sorted out. I'm not the person to ask about tech things, but if you don't have it, then Kim doesn't have it either. Oh wait. Those two tabs show up for me when I'm on the dashboard. So Amy,
okay. So the main dashboard.
Mm-hmm.
I do have community Q&A calls there.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So that's where those recordings are.
Great.
And then on the dashboard, if you click on Sacred Depth, You're right. There's just the certification level schedule. Let me ask my team. I may have been giving misinformation that it's in the Member Center. Like, I'm looking at all of the written out stuff that we have for you, and I just assume that was in the Member Center, but it might be that they're sending it out as an email. So let me clarify that. for you. Either way, I promise you'll have everything written with links to all of the worksheets. But thanks for putting that out.
Is the certification going to be written out? I just wrote notes down, but I want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Is it written out somewhere?
Yeah. So let me, I'll just show you for now. And again, this will either be in your member center, and it will also go out as an email, but let me see if I can share my screen. So you'll see this. So we have all of the requirements, and then you can click for each of the checklists, et cetera. This is basically everything I just reviewed. And you'll have access to all of that.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good questions. Jenna.
So my question was about the 18 sessions with clients, and I imagine it'll be in the all the information you send us, but how we submit that, like we just, is that
same thing, it's an honor system. Okay. Checklist. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
So you'll for sure get what I just showed you via email, and it has all the links, and then I'll ask them to drop it into the member center as well. Thought it was in there for some reason. Simona.
So I'm definitely excited about all the work to do, but I'm not so sure what I'm doing it with it once I have it. So what if how long do we have after we finish the 10 months to decide if we want to be certified or not certified?
So we usually ask, it's usually a 10-week period that we ask, if you know you're going to be certified, submit it in this time, just because it's easier for us administratively and understanding workload, because it does take time to go through the materials. But that being said, if you decide 5 months later or a year later, we're not gonna not accept it. There may be a small $75 fee for the recording, to review the recording at that point, but we're not going to not accept it.
Great. Well, thank you. I'll just keep it in mind. I'm just trying to not.
Yeah.
I agree. Thank you.
You're welcome. All right. Any other questions right now on certification? No. Okay. What's been on your mind around filters and biases and listening in general? I'd love to hear from one or two of you. It was a big topic that we looked at last week, the filters and the biases. And I'm wondering what's been moving through you. What have you been noticing? What if you've been working in client sessions? What have you been noticing about your listening or in general?
I'll share. I was thinking about just about the filters really resonated with me a lot. Particularly, you can have positive filters that you think might serve you well. I'm super pro champion of women, but that positive filter, if I was, with somebody, I may be inclined to err on the side of seeing them in a certain light because I'm a late blooming feminist. So it's like that filter kind of has to be checked, even though it looks pretty on the outside. And so I just was kind of taking inventory of those things, or like what kind of looks good, but has some things that I need to pay attention to.
Yeah. Yeah, I love how you're articulating that. And it's such an important piece at the core of the filter, right? Like no filter is good or bad. It's just like our awareness of it, right? Even if we think, like you're saying, it looks pretty on the outside, it's still important to be aware of. Good. Mindy.
This may seem kind of silly, but I was thinking about the filter of, and that would apply probably to everyone in this program, of actually being a good listener and understanding and having empathy. And because for a long time, I didn't understand everybody doesn't see and hear and feel what I see, hear, and feel. And that's a big one for me to really understand that. Yes. So that's been kind of going around in my head.
Yeah, I love that. It's so true. Being a good listener is a filter. And when we are good listeners, which everyone here already is, even before this training, we can sometimes assume that other people are really good listeners too, and then expect them to act a certain way or respond a certain way or see us in a certain way or themselves or others. But that's not the case. That's just our good listener filter. Beautiful. Good. Anything else that wants to be shared for right now on filters or listening? Rebecca.
Yeah, one thing that came up for me last week as I was reviewing all of this was how I make the time and space in the container when I'm working with a client or I'm teaching a class, but I was presented with the opportunity to spend some time with my family. And I realized like, oh, I could do that. Like, why do I do that for clients and not my family or partners or even friends sometimes? And so I created a little bit more space for myself before interacting with my dad and saw how much more space I had to listen and really look at how I could be better when it comes to my family. So I appreciated you sharing, Joanna, about how that shows up for you and your relationship with your husband and that invitation to think, oh, wow, like how can I do this in all of my relationships and what can that how can that shift dynamics in difficult relationships?
Yeah, 100%. I'm so happy to hear it. Just like putting it into motion and into use right away. And it's so true. So many of these skills that we use as coaches, sometimes it's easier to apply them to our client work than it is to apply them to any of our other relationships. But there's so much gold in it. And I'll just share a little bit personally. I think that I am actually a much better parent because of all of the years that I was a coach. I'm a very imperfect parent. Let me just start by saying that. But I think even with that, I'm a much better parent because of how much I've learned how to be with people more cleanly as clients. And so it's so rich to see this in our different relationships. I'm so glad to hear it, Rebecca. Rana.
Now, Rebecca, thank you for bringing that up. I can relate to what you just shared, Joanna. I'm not a perfect parent either, but I can definitely see the impact of this work on my relationship with my son. And on the flip side of that is sometimes with family members, they're so resistant to even just a hint of anything that might be construed as coming from a coaching perspective. So much so to the point of real anger and resistance around that, yeah. Where it's like, I don't want to be coached right now. I just want to have my family member. And at the same time, it's the opportunity to check my own filter and ask for that permission, but at the same time, not, what's the word I want to use? Not abandon myself in the process. Does that make sense?
100%. 100%. And it's right. So there's a couple of pieces in that. First of all, we're not meant to coach our friends and our family and all that. And sometimes it's easy to forget. Right. So that's,
and then of course the permission aspect of too, right? Yeah.
Right. All of that. And then the other piece that's complicated in there is like, sometimes it's easier to know that we're not there to fix our clients, but it's much harder to know that we're not there to fix our, you know, loved ones. Right. So then sometimes that can get complicated. But all that being said, and we want to check all of that. I think the flip side is that those of us that are called to this work and do this work, we become more evolved human beings through this work. That's one of the reasons why we're called to it. And then what sometimes happens is that we evolve at a different rate or pace than our loved ones. And that gets to the holding true to ourselves piece, right? So we don't want to coach our loved ones or anything like that, but it's finding that balance of staying true to the ways that we've evolved, right, while being in relationship with our loved ones.
And, you know, I think an additional filter of that is pieces that also cross with culture, with race, with class. And all of that can exist within these family structures, in addition to those filters running with, I find it more so with potential clients as opposed to current clients that I already have that relationship with.
Yeah.
But when perhaps they're coming from a culture that is so vastly different and so wanting to honor that, and to be real specific, it's, you know, cultures that are much more patriarchal.
Yeah.
That's just one example. Yeah, it's fascinating all the way around.
Yes, 100%. It is a journey, right? Like being a practitioner and continuing to develop, it is a personal journey. All right. Well, I'm glad that all of these ideas have been simmering and have been with you. And I am so excited for us to practice together today. So let me tell you a little bit about how this will work. I will, it's these practicums, the way I see them is they're kind of like workout sessions where we isolate a particular muscle. So today we're going to be isolating the listening muscle, and really using everything that we've learned to build our listening skills even further together. So I'm going to call on a volunteer client, and I'm not going to coach the client. I'm going to try really hard not to coach the client. What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask the volunteer questions that will just get information out of them, like opportunity to share about their situation, et cetera. Sometimes it crosses over with breakthrough questions just because I can't help myself, but my point is more for us to just have a lot to listen to, and everybody else's job is to be using everything that we've looked at so far, and I'll do a little review of that in a moment, and to be writing down what you're hearing, what you're listening. Like if you were the practitioner, what are the pieces that you hear that feel important, that your curiosity might follow, that you may end up asking a question? I'm not going to ask you for questions. That's in our questioning practicum, right? But what are you hearing? This is an opportunity, as I said at our very first call, I like to talk a lot. Now you all know that. This is an opportunity for me to talk less and for you all to talk more. The what will make this session as rich as it can be is hearing from a lot of you on what you've heard. A lot of times you hear things that I didn't catch too, right? Like we all have our things that we hear. So please participate. I'm going to ask that we don't use the chat when I am speaking to the volunteer, you know, when I'm asking questions of our volunteer client, because the idea is to not be distracted and to actually, presence is one of the listening skills, right? Like to be present and really listen. Carlita is suggesting to go off camera. I think that's a great suggestion too, like so we can really focus on our clients. As a very, very, very quick review of listening skills, remember listening is about really seeing, hearing, and loving your client. So as you listen, listen for the places to really see the client, to really hear them, to really love them. It's about being present in every moment. It's about listening to yourself as well as your client, right? We spoke about that dance of listening to our client and then hearing it to ourselves, right? And back out, being curious. Don't just listen for the what of the situation, listen for the who. Check your filters and biases. And then we had that long list last week of all of the other things to be listening for. I'm not going to go over all of them right now, but if you want to keep that in, you know, open for yourself, that resource sheet, that might be helpful too. Before we go in, I have a question for all of you to answer for yourselves, or two. The first is, what's your edge when it comes to deep listening skills? Right? So like when I say edge, I mean like a new part of the skill that's emerging for you, a place where you haven't mastered it yet. Is it maybe listening for pacing? Is it maybe listening if the client repeats anything? Is it maybe listening for a mismatch between two things? Is it maybe listening for specific language that the client uses? Is it getting out of your own head and what's going on for you in your mind? Is it filters and biases, right? So for you, what's your edge? What is a part of the skill that is really emerging for you? And if you want to share in the chat, it'd be great to see some of those. Rebecca's saying, when I hear something that my intuition lights up around, I stop listening and focus on the feeling. Yeah, so that would be a great thing to work on in this practice today. Rebecca, great. Amy Jo, you're asking which resource page. So there's a sheet in from last week's call. I went through in last week's call all the things to listen for, and there's a sheet on that as well. Lauren is saying, getting out of my head, staying embodied and confident throughout the process. Good, so that is something to work on today. Yeah, a lot of getting out of my head. Yeah, being fully present, right? You know, based on what your edge is, what's an intention that you want to set as you listen today? What's an intention for yourself that you want to set? And Simona, thank you for sharing the resource sheet in the chat. So what's an intention that you want to set? Hema is saying something interesting and important. You're new to coaching, Hema, and you find that it's hard to relate to your clients as clients. Yeah. Looking for a new relationship and wanting to be liked. Yes. So that would be an interesting, you know, it may not be an exact translation, but I think that would be an interesting thing for you to, it may not be an exact translation for like this practicum today, since you're not actually speaking to the client, but I think that would be a really good thing for you to be aware of in the practice today. Okay. I'm just getting a pen because I'm going to take notes as I listen to. And since I just spoke about taking notes, I'll just share this. A lot of times people ask in coaching sessions, I personally don't really take notes. Every now and again, I'll jot things down. But there's some practitioners that it works really well for them to take notes as they're listening. You've got great intentions. Good. Okay. Who would like to be our volunteer client? Nihal. Hi. Hi. You there, Nihal?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I can't see you. Oh. Can you talk a little louder?
Yeah.
There you are. You're welcome. I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Is my mic really low? Seems like it's not showing up well.
No, I can hear you.
It's okay. Good.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, great. So again, I'm going to try as hard as I can not to coach you. I'm going to jump around. Because of that, I might, like you may have mentioned one thing and I might jump around and ask something else. It's really just to get information out of you for us to listen to.
Wonderful.
So let's pretend though that it, you know, just for the sake of this question, that this was a coaching session. What is it that you would want to receive from this session? What's a situation that you have going on that you would want to receive support on?
Okay. I really want my in-laws to like me.
Okay. Great. Tell us more about that.
I've been in this family for, I think 16 years, and I really love them and I'm impressed by each of them. And it dawned on me a few years ago when all the other cousins grew up and met their own partners, and the family really like glommed on to the partners and loved them and made them theirs. And there was this huge sense of belonging that I sensed. And I suddenly became very envious of that belonging. And I was like, hey, I've been here so long. I'm very loyal. What's going on? I'm charming. I'm a leader in every other area of my life. Why don't you people like me?
Yeah.
And then I think that whole you people thing has probably even caused more of a divide.
Mm-hmm. Talk more about that. The you people thing causing a divide.
Let's see. When I was a little kid, I wasn't embodied. I had a lot of trauma, and I struggled to get along with other kids. And my mom put me in a really special, expensive school that was ultimately very good for me. But I always felt like an outsider, and you know, all the other kids occurred to me as wealthy and well-adjusted. And I didn't have those privileges at that time. And so being in this family, I feel like it's still the wealthy, well-adjusted kids, and they don't get my thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like this is historic for you, this feeling of not belonging. Particularly when you are in relationship with wealthy, well-adjusted people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when you say they don't get you, what is it about you that they don't get?
Well, with my in-laws, it occurs to me that they don't value the things that I value. They just have different values. They don't need the things that I need. I need spirituality. I need a depth of emotional intimacy, and those are things that kind of turn them off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, like I said, I'm going to jump around a little bit. What would happen if they really liked you?
Ooh. I think we'd have more fun together when we're together. I think there'd be a sense of camaraderie and getting together on projects that we're passionate about. We share a lot of passions about social justice and approach to living in the world. And I often find myself on the outside of those initiatives that are happening in the family. I think they'd invite me places. You know, they travel a lot and do fun things together with each other, but not so much with me and my wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what role does your wife play in all of this?
My wife is very loyal to them also. She very much wants to belong also, and wants their approval. It's been a thing in our relationship for all these years where sometimes her hunting for their approval kind of whips us around a little bit as a family. I think they're very mainstream, and I occur as kind of weird, I think, for them. So she often sides on the side of normal when we're having discussions or arguments, or, you know, I let my freak flag fly. I'm vulnerable about it. I don't mind being me. I'm used to being weird. And I think sometimes it's even weird for her. She like kind of wants me to fit in better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And so I think you're starting to speak to it, but share with us a little bit more. How does that impact you? I'll ask that question for a second. How does that impact you?
Well, I think it, you know, my suspicion is that it exacerbates a us them or me them dynamic. You know, it doesn't really bug me that she rags on me for being weird, because I also rag on her for being mainstream. Mm-hmm. Hey, can I have the light on, please? Sorry. I'm in the basement, so they can't see me when they turn off the light. I think I answered that question.
Yeah, so sometimes you rag on her and sometimes she rags.
Yeah. I rag on her for being normal and she rags on me for being weird. That's part of our silliness.
Mm-hmm. How does how she is with her family impact your desire for them to really, like you said earlier, really like you?
Yeah. It's almost like she desires their approval so much that I think she'll side with them or seek their consolation when there were several years when we were struggling in our marriage and she would complain to them about me, which I don't think helped my case. Yeah, and so we talked about that. I was like, I need you to have my back with your family and talk to them about how great I am also. You're like, you can talk about the hard stuff, but don't let that be the only story.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounds like there's, you have your kind of whole history of this relationship with belonging and not belonging and wanting to be liked and accepted, and then your wife has this whole history and relationship with her family of not really belonging and wanting to be accepted. And then the two of you kind of come together on it. And so it kind of like creates, it's you're both bringing a lot into this need to be really liked.
Yeah.
Accepted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been advised before to let go of the need to be liked. I hear that. And I think that there are lots of relationships where that's really important. And I still struggle with it with these people who I love, who I don't know if they love me.
Yeah,
I hear that. Yeah, and I'm not suggesting, like Clay said, I'm not coaching and I'm not suggesting one, but I hear, yeah, how does that, what's the emotion that comes up there?
It's grief. I've been through anger and resentment and resignation over the years, and I guess I'm grieving now.
Yeah. And why is it important for you to note that, right? Not anger anymore, but it's grief.
I think most of those emotions look like tears for me when I express them, when I emote. Why is it important? I think there's an acceptance in a grief that I hadn't had acceptance when I was in resentment and anger before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What does acceptance mean to you?
Well, it's that I have my work to do. That's mine, and it's, you know, I don't get to control what they think of me, and that's not my business what they think of me. And I don't get to control a lot of things, but I can focus on what I can control. And that's how I am and what I choose to do with that.
Yeah. So if this were a coaching session, considering what you just said, which was so beautiful, is the intention still for your in-laws to really like you?
Yeah, that would certainly give me pleasure. I mean, I know it's not an outcome that I can have necessarily within my own control. I can keep being authentic. Maybe at some point it'll be a thing that's more valued.
Yeah. Tell me if I'm getting this right. I might not be, and I'm definitely checking my filters. But I think what I just heard you say is the intention of them really liking you is a little bit setting yourself up for failure because you can't actually control it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I thought that overtly, but. Yeah, I think the intention of I want my in-laws to like me is a little bit magical realism in terms of what's within my power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is within your power?
How I respond to them, how I show up, mm-hmm. whether I'm true to myself.
Mm-hmm. How would you like to respond to them and show up?
With kindness for self, with kindness for other. Able to be authentic to myself. I struggle with whether to guard myself better with them. I have a strength in vulnerability, and it doesn't seem to be a value. You know, when I start to share vulnerably, they'll like change the conversation, which I later learned was a protective. They're trying to protect me. They're like, "Oh, no one wants to cry in front of other people. Let's talk about what grandma's having for lunch," you know. I realized they were trying to be kind, you know. When I thought they were like you're not welcome here. Your emotions aren't welcome here. Like, of course, that's how I experienced it.
Right.
But it wasn't the act of overt disregard that I thought it was. It was more a kindness that in their language.
Right. Such a great example of different filters.
Yeah.
Anything else about this that comes to mind or that you would like to share with us?
Yeah. My sister-in-law, my wife's only full blood sister, passed 6 years ago. It was very tragic. She was everyone's favorite. And she was one of my very best friends. And the family grieves in a way that doesn't make sense to me because I value vulnerability and they don't. And it's been hard. It's kind of felt like my version of grief has been unwelcome. They're like, "Well, stop talking about her." You know, we've moved on. And that's not how I grieve. It's not how I celebrate. So it does feel like there's ways that I have to find other outlets. And there are aspects of my authenticity which are not welcome because I think it occurs to me the story for them is that their grief takes precedence over mine in terms of what their relationship was to Delia. Mm-hmm. And so that's very much, you know, it's up for me many times a day while I'm with my in-laws, and it wears on me.
Tell me if I'm getting this right, it feels like it's not only frustrating but tiring to either not be able to be your authentic self or to be your authentic self and then get shut down.
Yeah, I think the getting shut down is more painful.
Yeah. And I heard you say a minute or two ago something about finding other outlets.
Yeah. I'm lucky that my wife shares my perspective on grieving and we can talk about Delia on our own. So she's usually my outlet, but you know, that I just have to watch my language and my filters when I'm around my in-laws and not share those memories in the moment.
That sounds hard.
I don't enjoy it.
Anything else that you'd like to share with us? You've shared a lot, but it's okay if there's nothing else, but just checking.
I can keep going if you want.
I think we're good, unless there's anything else that feels important, you know, big and important right now.
There's one more kind of big piece, but yeah. If I want to respect the timing.
Yep, nope, go for it.
Okay. My wife and I, married a man 6 years ago also. Got together with a man, married him 3 years ago. And that was kind of part of the grieving process because we got together right around the time that Delia was dying. And of course, it's even weirder for the family to have a three-partner relationship and now a three-parent relationship. And they like him less than they like me. But he doesn't seem to care as much as I do. And that, I think it just amplifies the weirdness. It's tricky.
Yeah, it sounds like, tell me if I'm getting this right, but it's definitely you and your family have been labeled as other for a number of different reasons. And that's really being felt deeply. Good. Thank you for being so willing to share and so vulnerable in sharing yourself with us and giving us so much great just opportunity for listening.
Thanks for the opportunity. Everyone.
Now is the moment where you get to hear a lot of different people talking about you. So, and you can also put your practitioner hat on too and think about what you heard in all that you shared, you know, if that's possible. Okay, so I'll give everybody another minute or two to just write down what you heard, right? Not just the facts, right? But what did you hear from this person? What did you hear? Everybody should have at least 5 to 10 things on their list. What did you hear? Give everyone a minute. All right, so don't be shy, right? Even if you're not sure what you heard is accurate, you know, I want to really encourage you to raise your hand and share, because we'll take a look at it together. It will be for all of our learning. So no myth of perfection, you know, in this conversation. What did you hear, Rana?
I just want to be clear before I respond.
Yeah.
That what you're asking for here is what we heard from Nihal, not necessarily, and I hope I'm pronouncing your name right, not the way you listened. Is that correct, Joanna? I just want to-
Correct, yeah. We'll get to how we listen.
Thank you.
Afterwards. Okay. Yeah, and one thing I forgot to say is let's share one thing at a time. And then if you have more than one, I'll come back to you, but just so that lots of different people can share.
Okay. I heard the impact of trauma being reenacted in this current dynamic.
Mm, beautiful. So there's this past experience of not belonging and the impact of that feeling of not belonging and that coming up here in current.
And I'm only using the word trauma because that's the word I heard used. I don't want to project that it was trauma.
Right.
From my listening. Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. So, and in that past experience, there was trauma and that trauma coming up in this situation. Good. Jenna. You there, Jenna?
I always forget to unmute myself. Sorry about that. I think the biggest thing that I heard was that came through was the grief and the connection of maybe possibly not being able to fully grieve the loss of your dear friend and the sister of the family, and perhaps the connection to just being seen and heard and loved on that level.
So. Yeah, good. Yeah, another beautiful thing, 100%. This, first of all, just with the grief, like this, that Nihal is deeply grieving right now, and then making that connection that this grieving around, well, my in-laws may never like me, is related to possibly not being able to have fully grieved the loss of her sister-in-law and her very, very good friend. another beautiful thing. Again, we want to be listening for these things as practitioners. These are what Rana's sharing, what Jenna's sharing. These are possible, really valuable avenues of exploration for a client who's bringing this forward. Beautiful, Cindy. You there, Cindy?
Unmuting would be good. I heard that she deeply wants to communicate with her in-laws and that she was exploring how she could meet them where they are. That the way she presents, she's seeing that it's not being received. So how could she meet them where they are to create that connection?
Yeah, beautiful listening and then great possible question to ask. Mm-hmm. Good. Rebecca.
Yeah, what I heard was in response to the question, what would happen if your in-laws really liked you? And this, what I heard was sense of camaraderie. And I felt curious how that could be met, maybe without being liked.
Nice. Yeah, so there's a question in that, but that, which is great. And the hearing is one of this client's needs, similar to the belonging, but a little bit different, is a need for camaraderie, right? We want to be listening for our client's needs in general to support with whatever they've brought forward in the session, but also we want to make note of those needs because those needs may become important as they bring forward other situations in future sessions as well. Good. Karen.
The biggest thing I heard was her need to feel valued and accepted and like she belongs. And it, to me, I heard that it's even beyond her family, her in-laws' family, her wife's family.
Yeah.
Even that within her, possibly her marriage with her wife.
Yeah, 100%. Beautiful. And again, listening for that need, so important. And then that can help generate questions for exploration there. Great. Simona.
So Neela, this may be me projecting, or it may have been what I heard. I'm just going to voice it since it's a practice. I heard a squeeze in my heart, so it wasn't a thought in my head, but I heard a feeling in my heart when you talked about her going to her parent. It wasn't about her in-laws liking you because you wanted to be like, I heard with my heart that a feeling of wanting your in-laws to have your back so that you felt a support system around you in your marriage when it was inevitably human and complicated, and a feeling of unsafety in that space is what I heard.
Beautiful. So I'm so glad that even though you're not sure, you're asking, and we'll ask Nihal if yes, you heard correctly. I heard that too. Let's ask you, is what Simona's sharing resonating for you?
Absolutely. It brought a whole new wave of emoting in that recognition. Thank you.
Yeah. So by the way, right, that just showed the power of acknowledgement, right? Just sharing what we hear as practitioners, so powerful. Good. Okay, let's see who's next. Libby.
I saw someone who is very honoring and respectful of others with her language and the way she discussed it, and really a beautiful soul who has done work. And there's a strong desire for others to overcome their filters so they can see the beauty in her for who she truly is. Yeah. And so she's living and wanting love from people who are more committed to their filters, perhaps, than loving her for who she is. And that feels like a loss. And I'd be curious to explore her perspective of what that loss is, or if there's a fear underneath that.
Yeah, beautiful. So there's a lot in there to pull out. The piece that I'll choose to pull out now is this hearing or listening for essential nature, right? Which is so, so key, right? Hearing that Nihal knows herself well, that she is sees the best in others, right? Like even as she was describing, you know, this way of that she's not being accepted and that she's not, you know, being held and all of that, she was still, she's an individual who we can see. She can see the other point of view and she's thinking, she's figuring out and she understands why others feel the way they do, right? This is, as practitioners, it's so good to know this about a client that we're working with, right? Because that informs so much, can also help to create awareness around for that client around that essential nature. Beautiful. Good. Carlita.
Hi. I'm not sure how much of this is my own inclination to like seek solutions. So I'm a little wary of this, but I heard in when she started to begin to explore the idea of acceptance, that kind of stood out to me. There's a power in like, there's this alternate route of what might be something to explore more deeply as an approach to it or something like that. It just, I made it like a mental bookmark of like, oh, what about that? Maybe so.
100 If I was coaching, that was the, that would 100% be a direction that I would go in. I didn't for this just to kind of get to other places, but 100% there was a new quality or type of emotion that came through when Nihal and a dropping in. Did you guys notice there was a dropping in energetically that happened when she said the words acceptance? She was already in the grief. She was in emotion, but there was a new quality to that energy, which is, as deep listeners, we want to make note of that. That means that it probably has legs somewhere. Good. Mindy.
One of the things that I heard, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. One of the things that I heard is wanting to feel accepted and fit in, but also without having to change who she is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that seemed to be a thread I kept hearing.
Yes, that one of the like kind of core pieces around how can I be liked and accepted, but for who I am, and where can those two pieces meet in a way? Good. Holly.
I heard this need to be accepted on the emotional level, but I also heard a need, just this practical need of inclusion, on a very like surface level.
Yeah. I'm so glad you're pointing that out. It's good to like, we, you know, want to hear those emotional needs, but those practical needs are important to listen for. And we'll get to this in creating awareness. That is probably also, you know, like in this case, a good thing to acknowledge that we've heard, right? That there is a practical need for inclusion, and that could be a whole area of exploration. Beautiful, good. Elaine.
I heard that she got to a place of awareness and recognition that the in-laws grieve differently. And I'm wondering if there's anything around assumptions about how they feel about her.
you know, is she making some assumptions about how they feel with her? And I don't know, I just put those two together.
Yeah, yeah, I can see how you, how it would go from one to the other. And then that could be a really valuable area of exploration, looking at as much as she can, like what's real versus is there any story here in terms of perception? And that can then help, once you kind of tease that out, say, hey, how can we lean in more to what's real and where you are being seen, et cetera, finding some strategizing and finding solutions from there. Stacey.
Hi. I heard at the beginning, Michal talking about what well-adjusted looks like. I heard her saying that it wasn't her. She didn't identify with what she thought well-adjusted was when she opened up and she started talking about going to the school. And then what I heard was this really strong sense of self, a very clear sense of who she is, and her identity may be different from what the belief that she made up about what well-adjusted looks like. And what I heard was, they don't grieve like me. I value vulnerability. It's my strength. So she's owning that, and also owning her, what she calls weirdness. And so I'm hearing just this, I'm hearing through what well-adjusted looks like for her, because from her description of what she said, well-adjusted is in the strength of her emotional expression and being herself, which sounds to me, she's doing a really good job expressing that. Yeah. And I don't know if this is the right place to say this for the exercise, but I would reiterate that celebration with her, and I would reflect back what she's saying about what she knows of herself, who she knows herself to be. Does that make sense?
100%. And I wouldn't even say reiterate, because I think she didn't actually iterate it. She said it, right, like in different ways, but the creating awareness piece is so powerful. And this, tell me, Stacey, because I may not be hearing you completely correctly, but this is what I'm hearing and what you're saying, which I think is so important, is that there are these old ideas of what well-adjusted means. And it was always the you people, like it wasn't her, she's not well-adjusted,
right?
Those other people are, but actually from everything she described and all the ways that she knows herself, and really you can tell like she appreciates these things about herself, she actually is well-adjusted, right? So creating that awareness, huge. Beautiful. Good. Well done. Jamie.
I thought there was a lot of power in the, you know, when you asked, is it still your intention that your in-laws like you? And that being, that was the thread all the way through that, Nihal, you were talking about, you know, people tell me I should let go of the need to be liked. You answered that question with maybe it's self-acceptance. And I thought that was, for you, a really powerful moment when it was like, how I would show up would be up. And then you said true to myself. Mm-hmm. And I think that was for me a really nut place of the dropping into, this is where my work is in the moment here.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big need and a big value, that authenticity and that being true of herself. Good. Christina.
I heard some unresolved emotions with her wife, feeling like she had given them ammunition against her.
Yeah. She said they worked through it, but there is right that piece of the wondering, am I safe
here? Right. Did this put more weight on that scale?
Yeah. Good. Beautiful. Lauren.
So I heard very completely this value of authenticity and fully wanting to be accepted for who she is. Yet at the same time, there's still questioning. There's still, should I guard myself around these people? How should I meet their needs for protection and avoiding vulnerability? But I think in that questioning, she still came back to, no, it's my own authenticity. That's really, really what matters most.
Yeah, yes, 100%. And then if that were in a coaching session, that might be a place of exploring how are you bringing old patterning of taking over responsibility for others, possibly. That might not be the exact right words, right? But to notice that and then to look at how that's being brought there. Beautiful. Good. Linda.
One thing I want to say is how helpful everybody's response is. This is just so interesting to see, you know, that I saw lots of that too. But the thing that struck me was that her relationship with her wife was so impacted because here's this person who she loves, who wants and seeks approval from this family who is rejecting her. And so it, you know, that is sort of a ripple effect of this family situation was what it's doing to the relationship with this partner.
Yeah, 100%. Good. Simona.
If everybody shared their one thing, there was one other that really struck me and was interesting to watch, was I heard you ask Michal, and I can't remember exactly the part, but just like what it would look like. And Michal, you seemed like you went into the space where your wise one was speaking about you would just show up and not care about your thoughts about you would be what you valued more than their thoughts about you. And you, I wish I had written down what you said, but you said this like gem of a thing, and it was almost like you were channeling it. And then when Joanna reflected it back to you, it almost seemed like you didn't hear what you had yourself said or fully taken in this really powerful thing. So I heard that and I only wanted to bring it up because I feel like it was really cool for me to see how much you had the answer inside you, and also wanted to make sure that you watch the video and hear your answer from yourself to yourself later so that you have that answer, if that's okay that I say that.
100%. Yeah. And you're speaking to, again, like noticing when there's an energy shift, when there's a dropping in. And then we'll get to this in our next module around creating awareness. But one of the reasons why reflections are so powerful is because oftentimes clients say something, but they don't know that they've said it, or they actually haven't taken it in yet for themselves, right? So that reflecting can really support that. Good, Mindy.
This is more of a question to ask you or Michal. I was wondering if when we're done, I'd be really intrigued to know what it's like for her.
Yeah,
we're getting heard. I mean, to really be
witnessed. We're getting there. Yeah, 100%. We're getting there. So you're all brilliant. I just have to say, I love all of these shares. you all hit a lot of the biggies. There's one little thing that I heard that I want to bring forward, because even though it's little, it may be a pearl of something in a session. At the very end, when she said that they like the husband less, but he doesn't really care. One of the things that I heard in that is that even in this marriage, there isn't, obviously you have camaraderie with your husband, but like there isn't, like there is this maybe desiring for him to care more as well, so that there could be more validation on that or connection on it. But there's something about like, and he doesn't care as much. In a moment, I want to come back to Nihal and hear exactly what Mindy asked. But before we do, just the one question I want to ask for everyone just to answer for yourself is, you know, what filters did you maybe realize you weren't checking as you were listening to that conversation? So, you know, and for example, if we just go back to kind of privileges, you know, and more normative things, like when Nihal was speaking about her partner, were you assuming that it was a male? When Nihal was speaking about her marriage, were you surprised that she also mentioned that there was a third partner in the marriage? Were there some filters that wanted to be checked there? Where else, right? Are you, as you were like listening and noticing filters? All right, and so Nihal, back to you. How was it to hear everyone talking about you? What do you, you know, how are you feeling right now?
I'm feeling good. I wish I had a box of tissues. I felt very seen and validated. It was like a empathy game or something. And I took a lot of notes about what people noticed so I could sit with them and just feel the being seen, which was and heard, really special for me. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. And I'm so glad to hear that. And it's a little bit of a trick question, but it proves my point of the power of listening and being seen and heard, right? Like we didn't ask any coaching questions at all. We just shared what we heard, and there's so much for you to take in and integrate and feel, and then just that feeling of being seen and heard. We'll drop for you in the member center a recording of a practicum from another cycle so that you can do some more practice listening like this on your own if you like. A couple things before we wrap for today. So first of all, what are you taking away from our time together today? Take a moment and jot that down. What are you learning? What are you taking away for yourself? And in a moment, I'd love to hear takeaways and any last thoughts and questions. But before that, again, we're not going to be meeting live for a while. So this is opportunity to catch up and also to have your first partner coaching session, and get to know your partner. But in the first session, the invitation is to practice your listening skills. So that's the muscle that you're going to be working on. You'll start the session asking your client, what's your intention for our time together today? Coach them, right? Whether you're new or experienced, ask questions, create awarenesses, vision strategy, whatever comes to you, coach them. But in the feedback, but I want you to pay attention to what you're listening the whole time, make notes. And then when the two of you reflect after the session, what I want to invite you to reflect on is what you heard and ask if you're hearing accurately, right? So sharing, and you'll do that in the session anyway as you reflect, but talk about the listening, the filters, have that be the discussion. Anything that we're just at 4:30. So any last questions or anything that wants to be shared before we wrap for today? Ray's asking, is it best to get to know each other? So, you know, sometimes people, you can either just kind of start and get into it, or you can first set up a get to know you session and have a conversation. I shared some welcome packet questions. It would be something that the two of you would agree on if you wanted to answer some questions beforehand with each other. So I'll leave it up to you in terms of how you want to do that. Carlita.
This was affirming in a nice way. Just in, it's like it told me it's okay to hear so freaking many things. Because right now I feel like my challenge always is to pick which thing to elicit, to follow, you know, but there's so much information in that. So I would just like whatever like reassuring guidance you might offer about like where we're going with, because I mean, I feel like it feels really good to be like, yes, it's normal and fine to feel like there is that much information actually right in front of me, and what next?
So first of all, it is so normal and so fine, and good listeners do hear many things. So yes, do all of that. The second, I always have a three-part answer to everything. The second piece I want to say to that is that we hear all of these things, but then we listen to ourselves, right? Remember the listening to yourself piece, because then that helps filter where you, what direction you think you want to go, or which places to see if that's a good place to focus on or ask about or reflect on. So that's where the listening to ourselves, like, right, like where there's more curiosity, where the energy is, and we try it out. And then the third piece I want to say is that it's a very forgiving process. There's no one way. There's so many. And this is what I love about coaching in this way. There's so many different ways that can lead to the end result that the client wants, right? So is that helpful?
So helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I know we're at time. And so, of course, if you have to hop off. Hima, I don't know if you're still here, but I caught your note in the chat, and I'm just wondering if there's anything more you want to share on that or take a look at, if it feels important. Yes, no?
I'm sort of at the very beginning stages. So I think it's just a lot of practice and a lot of seeing the coaching process in action. And putting myself in the situation as well. Yeah.
100%. And just so you know, I think it's a good thing that you related personally to the situation. Like, that's not a liability, you know, so long as you check your filters, that helps give you so much more empathy and possible, like, even more information that you're bringing in that's helpful.
Mm. The other thing I sort of noticed is that, sort of, again, being new, it's sort of hard to process everything in real time. Like, I sort of was, when Nihal was talking, I was sort of relating to what she was going through and making notes. And then it wasn't until after that I was able to sort of go through my notes and sort of pick out areas that I thought were interesting. Yeah. So it's that processing time as well.
Yeah. And that will get quicker and quicker. The more, like, that's exactly why you're here. And that's why we're practicing and we have our practice partners. I love that you had this process. And the more you practice the listening in this way, the more you'll process it as it's happening. It'll just take a little bit.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lynn.
I just gained so much from experiencing both of you. The biggest thing I'm taking away from this is the pace. It just felt so relaxed and plenty of time, and the spaciousness of it was just really beautiful. And I noticed something I learned for myself is that, like, I noticed the contrast or the energetic difference between Nihal was like saying things, but like chuckling, you know, like a little nervous laughter. But I could tell that tears were right behind her eyes. And my tendency is to jump there because I value the emotional experience and I want to go there. But you just let it be, you know, let that, like, it's not like we have to name the contrast right then and there. It was early in the session, and it was just a beautiful way of just continuing to reflect and ask questions. And then the tears came, you know, like, I may have named that, and there may have been a time that was a good thing to do, but it came on its own, and it was just very beautiful.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're noticing that. So first of all, I wasn't coaching. I may have named, if it was like coaching, I may have named it earlier too. I mean, you know, I'm not, but that could very well be in the realm of, you know, what are you feeling right now? So I don't think I think that's a great instinct. But I think, you know, the other piece that's important in what you're saying is that, like, if you keep on holding the space, it will also come at a moment that's right. I think both are true. Again, very forgiving process. Good. Rana.
Okay, I'm going to ask this question because I'm genuinely curious. Nihal, you were so brave today to share with us and to be so vulnerable. And I can't, at the same time, I can't help but wonder that even though there's been a lot of validation of that in the chat, I can't help but wonder about a possible, what I call like the vulnerability hangover. Mm-hmm. And I see some heads nodding with that. And if Nihal feels she needs it, because I don't want to project on her that she does or that you do, Nihal, for support as a result of what was shared today. And is that available to you should you feel you need it? And I'm just genuinely curious about that, Joanna, from having had those vulnerability hangovers in spaces like this myself. So I just, again, it's like that awareness piece. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling, you know, you kind of know what I mean on that.
Sure. And I think probably a lot of people here know that the vulnerability hangover comes from Brené Brown. I think she coined that first. It's like, oh my God, I was so open. And now I feel so weird about being so open. But I think it's a beautiful question. Nihal, how are you feeling?
Thanks for asking. I feel good. Vulnerability hangover was kind of like my entire life for the first 20 years. So it's the muscle I've managed. And this is such a loving space. I'm really honored. I'll probably take it easy for the rest of the day. I was excited to set up a coaching time with my coaching partner, buddy Cindy, soon after this. So maybe I'll get a chance to decompress there.
Awesome. So glad to hear it. Well, as usual, I am in such appreciation of all of you. Nihal, thank you again for just us giving us the opportunity to witness and to practice on you. And thank you to everyone for just all of your presence and your brilliance and your sensitivity, you know, all that you bring. It's an honor to be in this space with you and to hold space with you. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. And I will speak with you soon. Bye.
Bye.